This morning, take your Bible and turn to Joshua, Joshua chapter 2. We get back to our messages on the children of Israel, really an overview of the Old Testament. And this morning we come to Joshua chapter 2. It's an exciting time in the life of Israel. It's the verge of a new adventure. There have been lots of new adventures for Israel, hadn't there? They were left Egypt and they'd been through some amazing things, seeing God bring the plagues upon Egypt, which brought about Egypt saying, okay, you can go, leave, please do. They'd seen God open up the Red Sea and part the water so that they could exit, escape away from the Egyptian army that was coming behind them. There were many highs and lows. As you think about the fact that there were times when things didn't seem like they were going so well. And they complained and said, Moses, have you brought us out here to die? But then the great times of seeing God in those times provide water, provide food, and open up the way. They'd seen God give them victory over some of the people who came to attack them along their journey along the way. There'd been the refusal at the border of the Promised Land some 40 years before our text here, where they could have gone in. But they said, no, we're afraid. We don't think that we can do this. And although the two spies that were good spies said, God will help us. We can do it. They said, no, we're not. And so they spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. God still looked after them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God provided for their needs. But they saw those who were over 20 years old all pass away in the wilderness. Terrible thing. Can you imagine, like, probably maybe 500,000 to 1,000,000 people dying over that 40-year period. Very sad time of God judging them for their refusal to enter into the Promised Land. But now here they were. They were at the border again of the Promised Land, and they were just about ready to embark on the adventure of crossing in to Canaan, the land that God had promised to them. You know, here we are. We're at the birth of a new year, right at the very beginning of a year. We can look back like Israel looked back. We can see what God has done in our life. We can see the things that we've gone through in our life, the good things and the hard things. And we can see those things as Israel could when they were about to cross over into the Promised Land. And it was a new adventure to go into the Promised Land. In some ways, a new year is a new adventure. In one sense, it's just another day. But we look at it differently, don't we? We say, what opportunities are lying ahead? What things will befall me this year? And we don't know the answer to that. But we do have the same confidence that Israel had. God is with us. He's been with us. He's helped us through the good and the bad. He's walked with us through the valleys and over the mountain peaks. And He's going to be with us in this new year as well. And so here, the children of Israel were preparing to enter Canaan. And some things that they went through as they prepared to enter Canaan, I believe, can also help us as we prepare to embark on this new year of 2018. So let's look in our Bibles at Joshua chapter number 2. And the Bible says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. As soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou dost let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out to the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of this of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went, and came into the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this portion of Scripture today. And Lord, we realize it's a historical event that happened many years ago, but you've told us that your word is written for our learning, not just to learn a historical fact, but to learn from it principles, truths that we can apply into our lives spiritually. And I pray this morning that you'd help us to do that. Give us open ears and open hearts. And Lord, may we focus upon what you would speak to us about through your word today. May it be that when we leave here, we would know that you have met with us and we have responded in the way that you desire us to do. So bless our hearts, we pray, and speak to us each one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see this morning the commission, the sending out of the spies. We read about it in verse number 1, that Joshua sent out men to spy out Jericho and the land of Canaan. The spies were sent, and I'm sure when they were sent, that Joshua couldn't help but think about what happened 40 years before. See, he was one of the 12 spies that were sent then, 40 years prior. That was a time when they were at the same spot, not the same geographical location, but the same spot in the sense that they were just about to enter into the Promised Land. It was a time of great excitement. This is where God had brought them to. This is what they came out of Egypt for, to go into the land. And they sent those spies full of great anticipation. But those spies came back and 10 of them gave a bad report. Oh yes, they said, the land is great, but we can't do it. We can't go. And that time of great anticipation of going into the land that God had promised so many for hundreds of years became a time of great despair, of great disappointment, as they turned their backs and walked away and said, now we're just going to die. We should have just stayed in Egypt. And I can't help but think that Joshua, as he sends out these two men, had in mind that situation. I can't help but think that he remembered the very moment that Moses had said, go and spy out the land and come back and bring us word again. And here he is sending these two to do something similar. Only two were sent this time. Perhaps he thought, these two are like Caleb and I, who came back with a good report. Yes, there was two, because two is the number of witness, and two it would take to say they corroborated one another's word as to what it was. It wasn't just one person going out by themselves. But these two were sent, carefully selected by Joshua. Remember, Joshua had been the captain of the host, hadn't he? He'd been the one who was in charge of the armies of Israel under Moses. I'm sure that he had in mind right away thinking, I know two men who will be just the ones to go. Carefully selected by this godly man, Joshua, who the chapter before had been challenged by God to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And he carefully selected these two men and sent them out, not as had been before, where it seemed there was some pomp and circumstance of the 12 going out, but these two men just quietly sent, under the radar, so to speak. Just go and check things out and come back and bring us word. Only Joshua and probably a few others knew about it, their family members perhaps, and one or two others. They were specifically sent to Jericho, the first city to be conquered. You know, I don't think that in Joshua's mind he was sending them to see if they could conquer Canaan. I think in Joshua's mind they were sent to say, how best do we conquer Canaan? See, Joshua already had been one of those ones 40 years ago that said, we be well able to come on to overcome them because the Lord is on our side. So I don't think 40 years later he's sending them out saying, better check it out and see if this is possible. No, he was sending them out with wisdom to find out what's the best way for us to conquer this new land. Fear wonders if it is possible. Wisdom says, if this is what God wants us to do, we just need to figure out the best way to do it and ask God's direction and wisdom in it. The spies were sent, but when they got there, they were sought. It's interesting to me that they were sent secretly and they were spies. So Israel didn't really know they were going, and they shouldn't have been very identified when they got there. But they weren't there very long, and they were found out as to who they were and what they were up to. The same day, it would seem, that they arrived in Jericho, the king said, we got to get those guys. Somebody said to the king, there's some spies come in from the Israelites. And he said, we've got to find them. We could surmise from this that they weren't very good at blending in. Maybe they weren't the best spies, perhaps. Perhaps not the best candidates for the next opening with CSIS or the MI6. Because they didn't do their job very well of spying on the land. They were found out quite quickly. You know, I had to think about the fact that they were identified. How did they get identified so quickly? Was it their accent? Their language? I mean, after all, they weren't from there. They were Israelites who lived in Egypt. And now they were in Canaan, in Jericho. That wasn't their hometown. I'm sure that their accent was different. They weren't the same as the people there in the way they spoke. Their appearance was probably different. They were Israelites and they dressed like the Israelites did, maybe influenced by Egypt where they'd come out from, but they weren't Canaanites. They didn't dress like the people of Canaan necessarily. Maybe it was just their behavior that made them identifiable, that they acted differently, maybe acted suspiciously, we could say, but maybe just that they seemed to be had a challenge to do, and this is what we're going to do. They were focused on the job at hand. You know, I had to think as I pondered that. These were God's people, and they were identified. Are God's people identifiable today? Are we identifiable by the words that come out of our mouth. Oh, not the accent that we have. We're from different countries, and that's a blessing. I love to have a church where we've got people represented from all different places in the world. That's a blessing. I'm not talking about what language is our native tongue. I'm talking about the kind of vocabulary we use, the kind of things we talk about, the things that we say. You know, God's people should be identified by the fact that we don't curse and swear. You know, the Bible says, let no corrupt thing proceed out of thy mouth. Let no corrupt communication. There's a lot of corrupt communication that goes on in this world. Christians should be identified by, hey, they don't say the same things. They don't talk about dirty stories like we do. What's going on? We should be identified, yes, by our speech. How about the appearance of a Christian? Should it be different? I'm not saying that Christians should look different just for different's sake. We have all kinds of people that just say, I just want to look different. And they do. And we say that's individuality expressed. People look different. But did you ever meet somebody, and maybe you haven't even met them very well, maybe at work, maybe in a social setting somewhere, and you just think, you know, there's something different about them. I have a feeling they might be a Christian. You know, it should be that way, I think. I really believe that not just the clothes that we wear, although there are clothes that are improper for a Christian to wear. The Bible says that we should be modest. But I'm not just talking about the clothes that we wear. I'm just saying that our demeanor, our appearance, the way we carry ourselves, so to speak, I think as believers it is different. It should be different. People should say, you know what, they're just a little bit different. I wonder if they're a Christian, or I wonder if what makes them different. These spies may have been recognized because their behavior was identifiable. Is our behavior identifiable? Do people recognize that we have a different worldview? A worldview that's not afraid of the future, but says, you know what, God is in control. Do people identify us? That's what I'm just saying. I think Christians should be identifiable. I don't think we should just completely blend in that sense. Again, I'm not saying we should just be odd, different, weird. But I'm saying that people should say, there's something different about that person. These spies were identified, and God's people ought to be identified. There was a commission, but there was also conversion. The bulk of the chapter is an exciting story. Well, the whole thing is exciting. God's word is exciting in general. But this is an exciting chapter that deals with this lady named Rahab in a great way. Her interactions with her own people as well as the spies are brought forth here. She's introduced in a pretty negative light as far as who she is and what she does and those things. But by the end of the chapter, we say, this woman, something's happened in her life. She's been changed. And it's an exciting thing. It's a wonderful thing to think about the fact that this woman, who is the very least likely candidate in many ways to end up in recorded not only in a historical section of the Bible, but in a section of the Bible that refers to people commending them for their faith. But that's where she ends up in Hebrews chapter 11. But think with me about this woman that we've read about this morning, Rahab. You realize that she was a heathen. In other words, she wasn't a believer in the God of Israel, the God of the Bible. She hadn't been raised to believe in the God of Israel, the God of the Bible. She was a Canaanite. The Canaanites were believers in multiplicity of gods. And they worshipped Baal and they worshipped other gods. And they weren't worshippers of the true God in general. They were wickedly living people. So God said that one of the reasons that Israel was being given the land of Canaan because his judgment was upon the people of the land because of the way they lived. And here was Rahab. She was one of them. She was a Canaanite. She was also a harlot. She was what we sometimes may refer to as a woman of the night, a call girl, a prostitute. That was her occupation. That's what the Bible refers to her as here and also in other places in the book of James, I believe. Not a very flattering thing, was it? It was an occupation of ill repute, even amongst her own people. Her house was likely on the other side of town, and being on the wall, I'm sure that those two spies weren't the first ones that had been let down by a basket on the outside to escape. It seemed that she knew well how to get them free to go quietly so that nobody knew, didn't it? Most likely the reason that the spies chose her house was not because of what she did in that sense, if they wanted to partake in that, but rather to arouse no suspicion, because she probably had many men frequent her house. So they probably felt it was a safe place to go, that people wouldn't think, who are they and what do they want? What are they here for? She didn't seem to be a likely candidate to encourage the spies in their mission, did she? A heathen? Harlot? But you realize that she was a helper. We read in these verses that she became a friend to these men to help them in their mission. When the king sent to find those two spies, what did she say? Oh no, they're not here. They came, but they left. She hid them. She gave them a place of safety on the roof of her home. And of course, those, the homes of the day had flat roofs, not our peaked roofs. And she had things up there, the flax was up there, which was a normal thing to do, to dry it out and to store it. That would have been a fairly common thing to do. And there she was, hiding these spies in that place where they could be hid. You know, she hid them despite the fact that it could well have cost her her life. It was a treasonous act, wasn't it? To hide spies and then lie to the king that that's what she'd done. She made a story up about their departure. To lie to the king could surely have had severe consequences. You know, so I've questioned why God would list her as a hero of the faith when she was a known liar and she lied about these things. You know, God does not commend her lying. God commends her faith. Realize that she was an untaught believer. She believed, as we'll see in a moment, in the God of Israel. She'd become a believer in the God of Israel. But God didn't commend the fact that she lied. God commended the fact that she was believing in Him. Lying was not the right thing to do, but her motive was her faith in God. And I'm not for one moment suggesting that the end justifies the means, but I'm saying that she was an untaught person who, we could say, didn't know any better in that sense. She just knew that she wanted to protect those men because she believed in their mission and believed in their God. There's no doubt that God had prepared Rahab to help the spies in Jericho. And realize that many young believer in Christ has perhaps used some less than conventional means to do things that they felt was service to the Lord. That's a learning to do, isn't it? When we become believers in Christ, we are babes in Christ, and we have a lifetime of learning to us to grow and mature in our faith. But this woman was a helper, and she was also a hearer. You see what she said? We heard what your God did. We heard of all the amazing things that took place. Do you think 40 years had gone by? We don't know how old Rahab was. Was she alive when those things took place? We have no idea. Those stories have been passed down and she had heard them, or she'd heard them when they took place, but 40 years had gone by. But she heard of what God had done. And these men, who probably were tired and a little concerned about what was taking place, that people were looking for them, were ready to go to sleep for the night. It says before they had laid down. So they're planning on going to sleep. But she comes up and she says, listen, I want to talk to you about what I've heard about your God. These people of Canaan had heard the things that God had done some 40 years before in drying up the Red Sea and giving victory over some of the kings of Canaan. And their fear was very much aroused by what they had heard. But Rahab, upon hearing those things, said, "Wow, that's some great God that Israel has, if he can do that. That's an amazing thing that one could dry up the Red Sea. That's an amazing thing that these people who had escaped the slavery of Egypt could defeat an army of people coming against them. This is some great thing. I've heard about this. There must be something to their God. He must be a great God." You know, as I thought about that, I thought, 40 years before, Israel was on a roll. They'd come out of Egypt. They'd seen God dry up the Red Sea. They'd seen God defeat enemy nations. They'd seen God provide water for them. But what did they say at the border of the Promised Land? "God can't do it." The same stories, the same facts were heard by heathen people who didn't know God. And what did they do? They feared. They said, "These people are going to take over our land." The people of Israel stood at the Promised Land border and they said, "Oh no, no, we can't go in because those people, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants. They're going to destroy us. Their cities are walled up to heaven. We can't do it. God can't give us that land." And yet the people of that land said, "Oh no, these people are coming up. There's nothing too hard for them. Their God is doing great things for them. We're as good as dead." Why is it that we, who know God and know what He's done, how is it that we have such a hard time believing what He can do when sometimes people from outside can see what He's done and say, "Wow, what's wrong with it? Why can't we express the faith that Rahab did as a heathen, a harlot?" Rahab heard, and her hearing said, "This God is the true God." Do you see what she says in those verses that we read? Verse 11, "As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." Look at the rest of verse 11. "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." You want to know why Rahab is found in Hebrews chapter 11? Right there. Because she said, "We saw what God had done. Everyone else in Canaan, they froze, they feared." But she said, "I believe that your God is God. That's why I hid you tonight, guys. That's why I want you to promise me that everything's going to be okay with my family. Because I believe your God. I believe in Him." Oh, what a wonderful testimony. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Rahab heard what God had done. She said, "I believe in Him. I believe in that God." Rahab believed and her life was changed. You know, there's a lot more Rahabs out there. They may not be likely candidates, quote unquote, but they're people who need to hear about our God and hear about what He can do, hear about what He has done, hear about what He will do, and hear about what He can do for them. Because you know what? That changed Rahab's life. She became a different person. Matter of fact, she not only is recorded in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, she's not only used in other places and as an illustration of one who believed God, but she's also becomes part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Wow. An unlikely candidate for sure. But God changed her life when she, by faith, believed in Him. Conversion. She was a heathen. Yes, she had been. She was a harlot. Yes, she had been. She became a helper because of what she had heard. She believed. And she was hopeful about the future. She said to them, "Listen, I believe in your God. And I know God's given you this land. But I'm concerned about my family. I don't want them to be destroyed. I want them to be safe. I want them to be saved. Will you promise me that my family will be saved when you come in and destroy our city and take over our land? Will you promise to spare them?" She said, "Give me a true token." Can you imagine how many times this woman had been lied to in her profession? A true token. She said, I want you to tell me the truth. I want you to make me a promise. I've been taken advantage of many times, but I believe you're God, and I believe that you will be honest with me. I believe that you will do what I ask." And they said to her, "If you bring your family into your house and you bind the scarlet line in the window, the people, everyone in your house will survive. They don't need to fear the future. They don't need to fear destruction." Her faith would be expressed by inviting her family in and by tying that scarlet line in the window. Her family's faith would be expressed by entering into that home, that place of safety. It didn't necessarily make sense, did it? The wall, wouldn't that be the most dangerous place to be, to come? When Israel was coming in to attack them, wouldn't they start with the wall and try and destroy the wall? These men said, "You bring in your family into this house and they will be safe." It would take faith. You realize that faith in God changes a person now and it changes their future. Rahab's life was changed. She believed by faith. Rahab's future was changed. All the rest of the people of Jericho feared when those Israelites were marching around the walls. You know what Rahab did? She didn't fear. She didn't have to fear the future because she trusted God. Her faith was in God. You know, there's a lot of people that fear the future. Climate change. Yeah, global warming. Okay. Record lows. Okay, well anyways, we won't go there. But you know, people are afraid, aren't they? They're afraid. What's going to happen? Is the world going to collapse? Is there going to be a nuclear war that destroys everything? I'm afraid of the future. People will say, "Aren't you afraid?" You know what the believer says? "No, I'm not afraid. Because I know God. And I trust Him. And He's given me not only hope for eternity, He's not only changed my life now, but He makes me so I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. I'm not afraid of a nuclear explosion bomb. I'm not afraid of World War III. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen because you know what? God told me already what's going to happen in this book. And He's told me that in Him, I'm safe. He's told me that I've entered into that place of safety in Jesus Christ. I don't need to worry." And Rahab was hopeful because her faith was in God. And you can be hopeful too. That doesn't mean fingers crossed. That means confidence as to the future. That's what hope is in the Bible. Because of believing in the Lord. There's a lot of people who need to be converted, have their lives changed and their eternity settled, and have the hope of the future. But these things were confirmation. Why did they get sent, these spies? Because Joshua wanted confirmation as to its time and what's the best way. These spies returned encouraged that God would fulfill His promise and give them their land. And there were several indications, or a couple of indications that we see here. How did they know that this was going to work out right? They made it home. You know what happens when spies are found out? They don't make it home. The day they arrived, they were realized. They're spies. All the resources of Jericho went to find those guys. But they made it home. The fact that they made it home back to the camp of Israel was confirmation God is in this. God is there. You realize who they trusted? From the human perspective, who did they trust their safety to? A woman whose life wasn't based on trust for most of it. They trusted Rahab, a heathen, a Canaanite, with their life. What did she say? She said, just stay here. I'll send these guys away. They said, we're still alive. God must have been in this. They trusted her when she said, listen, I'm going to let you down this wall. They said, but what if the people that were sent out to look for us look back and see us being let down the wall? She said, trust me. They made it home. She said, go and abide in this particular place and stay there 3 days. And they did exactly what she said. You realize she could have been a turncoat. She could have been, say, hey, as soon as they'd gone to head to the mountains, she could have called the people, hey, listen, I just sent them away. They're going to the mountains. They got no way of escape. Go get them. We know they made it home. They made it home after trusting an unlikely source, humanly speaking. The fact that they made it home said one thing. God is in this. God has not only changed Rahab, but God has prepared Jericho for us to invade it. We can get home safely to bring word back to Joshua. And their faith. Not only the fact of their arrival, but the faith of their attitude. They returned directly to Joshua, the one who had sent them, to report the news of their trip. Realized they didn't go throughout the camp. Hey, guess where we just came from, guys? We were in Jericho. Guess what happened? You know, first thing they did, we want to go back to our leader, Joshua, the guy who sent us. He's got to hear this great news. This is so exciting. This is a wonderful thing that God has allowed us to come back and God has prepared the people. Now, man, we could have gone in there 40 years ago because those people were so afraid of us. But some of them believe. They've expressed faith in our God because of what they heard about what God had done. And they were thrilled to take the word back to Joshua. Look at verse 24. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. I don't know about you, if I was one of those spies, I'd find it a little bit nerve-wracking going into enemy territory. Just two of us going into the enemy territory. But boy, when they heard what they heard, and they came back, they were ready to have a shouting fit, a shouting time, weren't they? They were so excited. God did this! We could have been in the land 40 years ago, because God, these people are still afraid of what God did back then. And their faith was encouraged. Their faith was strengthened. They recognized that it was God who had delivered Canaan into their hands. It wasn't about Israel. It was about Israel's God. Their faith was such that they realized that if people of Jericho were felt they were so afraid, so were the rest of people. You see what he says there? The Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. He didn't say, the Lord's delivered Jericho into our land. He said, Jericho is just one sample of the whole nation. We know it. Because we believe God. We believe that's what God is going to do. What a difference from the attitude of the 10 spies some 40 years before. As they prepared to enter the promised land, the land of Canaan, there was a commission. Go and check it out. Those spies went and they were recognized as being the people of Israel. Are we recognized as being the people of God? When they got there, they found a woman who was converted to believe in the God of Israel. Are we seeking to spread the word so that people can be converted to Christ and have their life changed? By the way, have you been converted to Christ? Trusted Him by faith? as your Savior. And they receive confirmation, God is in this. Their faith was strengthened. You know, we have confirmation that the Lord will be with us in 2018. See, we're not entering in Canaan. We're just embarking on a new year. But we too have confirmation. The God who's been with us 40 years, maybe for some longer than 40 years, maybe for some not quite 40 years, that God, He's going with us into 2018. We can reach forth into 2018 with confidence in the God who has brought us through the past. Are you ready for what is ahead? Preparing to enter, not Canaan, 2018. Let's pray together.